me, there's an officer, a captain of the tank regiment, was one of the instructors. There was he had an assistant who was again a captain. I'm not sure. I think he was a 7th Hussar. And of course, we had the officer commanding them was Fanshawe. I think Fanshawe was the head of the pre-op. And so they had quite a staff and various other instructors who specialized in the particular subject. An officer would be in command of that particular section, but a lot of the instruction was by NCOs. In sort of certainly in the practical side of vehicles and driving and that sort of thing. Academic things would be a major. We would start off more or less with the foot drill, rifle drill, and that on the square with our same Lord. And we were treated as though we were raw recruits. And gradually got up over the 12-week course, doing the rehearsal type thing, as we would do if we were going to pass out at Sandhurst. We'd get to that sort of stage. We would spend a certain amount of time on driving, which would be the one-ton trucks. We'd go out on driving instruction. Paul Lyon Campbell. Mainly road. We didn't do cross country till we got to the Yorkshire itself. We would do the radio training inside, and then they would have
trucks fitted with radio. They were the small type, the cheap. I think they were one-ton horses. They would have a radio in and would do little exercises using them. But then we would always be on the roads with those. We would do small arms, weapons, bring guns and that sort of thing. We would spend an hour on PT, pretty vigorous. We would then do build up to certainly a 10-mile dash. And come back and fire the on the range when we come. We did the assault courses and swimming in the lake at in the foot or more like 4 feet. And we would also have discussions which would be supervised by a major.
What sort of subjects were you called on to discuss?
You could pick different subjects, really, and certain ones they would select, mainly current affairs. And I'd be up to everyone to sort of air their views on it. That was the main thing, they wanted people to talk. What else got within that? I think that took up the full 12 weeks. But we were fully committed the whole time. And we were allowed Saturday afternoons and Sundays off. But we were fully committed right up to probably 8 o'clock at night. So there was no time to be bored. And of course, you'd have to have a certain amount of time to get your kit in good order. Everything had to be really highly polished. And you were inspected very closely, just as a recruit would be.
Looking back on it, did you learn anything that came as entirely new to you, or was it really refresher training for you?
There was nothing new as far as I was concerned, although when you look at the number of people on the course, the number that were more experienced for very few. See, there was in my particular troop, which was an armoured car troop, and there was only myself and Daniels, the Canadian, who had any experience. All of us were young chaps, so it was all new to them. We had the advantage that we didn't have to struggle quite so much in coping with things.
Do you know what Daniel's background was, who he'd served with?
He'd been with the Princess Pat's regiment.
Princess Patricia's?
That's right. He was with them. So he'd been trained, so he was a sergeant in the regiment. We had lots of other Canadians who were in different troops. And but in that particular one, it was just Daniels who was on the car. And by then, I suppose, we didn't start till March. And we were 3 months, March, April, May. So that was taken up, and had the war finished by then?
War finished by early May.
Yes. That's right. So by that time, the war had finished. And the people who went with me from the regiment, the RSM, person, who was, I think he was only the same age as me.
Yeah.
In fact, he joined 3 months after me. And he was in France, he was commanding officer's operator. And he decided not to carry on, so he left and went out of the army shortly after. He didn't go back to the regiment, and Sergeant T, the same.
Do you know why they decided not to carry on?
Well, I think they thought, well, they could have a civilian life then.
But there was still a war against Japan, wasn't there?
Yes, yes. But they weren't interested. They certainly decided. You had the choice that you could leave if you wanted, if you thought you weren't up to it or you weren't that interested. You had the choice before you went on to the main up to of leaving. And that's when they left. They didn't go on to the main building.
Where were you living then? Do you remember which bit of the new building you were living in?
I can see it. There was the square, and there was an end piece, and then it went along. And the building faced the square, and we were in the corner piece. And you went to the right, and that would take you on to the square of the main building.
Of old building?
Of the old building.
So you're in the left-hand end?
That's right, yes.
In A block?
Is that what it was?
Yes, yes. It goes A to F.
I see, yeah, that's where we were. So we only had to go around the corner, and we were on the square of the old building.
What sort of standard of accommodation did you have?
Well, it's very good. I think it was two in a room, sort of bunk bed, and we had, I shared with Tony Lava. And I think we did have a servant who cleaned for 4 or 5 of us. I think we did in the new building, but certainly we did when we went to the
old building. What about the food?
The food was quite good. Normal sort of army food that was well prepared and a good dining room. And of course we always have our nappy grapes, which then was sort of sausage you could buy in a bread roll type thing. And coffee, and that was very popular, not too expensive.
When you went to the dining room, did you go all together as a body?
Yes. Well, we all sat down as a body. Certainly at the old building we all sat down together. The whole academy, really.
How were you assessed on the pre-octo? Was there any sort of formal process of
assessment? Oh, yes, I think the instructors, the door would grade you as you went along, or they were marking you to see. You still had the chance of failing there, you see. And so there was very strict reports made on you to the head of the commander of the pre-octo.
What about, I mean, were there formal tests as part of the pre-octo?
We would do your normal sort of driving test, your efficiency test, and pass out on foot drill, that sort of thing, but there was no reading about having any sort of written report given to us. But you certainly were tested on things. You couldn't just glide along and not bother. But you knew at the end of the day you would be tested on a particular thing, and again with route marches and things like that, you had to do it in a certain time, and if you didn't, then you'd have to sort of buck your ideas up to see whether you could do better the next time. So certainly there was no case of saying, oh well, I'm not worried, I'll just get by.
And what about the end? How did the pre-octo end? Did you have a passing out ceremony of any sort?
Of a fashion. Nowhere near that kind of thing. Nowhere near like it is at the old building. You had your passing out parade, and I don't think, I can't remember any sort of, apart from all getting together after and being told that you'd passed well and you were going on to the old building.
What happened? Was there? Did you have a break between pre-octo?
Yes, we had, I think, a long break, actually. I think at least a month. And then we went off on leave and whatnot. And then we reported to the old building and started then again from scratch.
And was, were you in the same squad as you've been in on pre-octo when you came back?
No, they sorted us out into some people they were going to have definitely as tanks, some armored cars, like the lifeguards and then Pizarro people, that people went into a separate block. And the block sort of faced the main square. If you look at the main, from the parade ground, looking towards the old building, our room is up on the right, so more or less far right. And and we were the, I've got a feeling that's called the HAC, I can't think why.
Honourable Artillery Company.
They would have used that, that's right. And anyway, that was the troop, but they call them the troop, I don't know, but that's what they call them, not the troop.
Platoon, perhaps?
Not platoon. Anyway, that's what we're in to start with.
How many of you were there in the armoured car?
About, maybe 15, might be 18 to 20.
And were how many old soldiers were there in the?
Well, we had I think it was about four of us. I think two Canadian. Czech name. Was Lewis? I think was a bit older. Seen a little bit of service, but there weren't many who'd done the complete war, more or less. Of course, we started off again back on the square, and then I think they'd only been going 6 weeks, perhaps, or 2 months, and they decided that they were going to do away with that particular troop who specialised in armoured cars, and it would all be tank.
How did you feel about that, about moving from armoured car to tanks?
Very, very disappointed, you see, because it was going to set us back to start with. So we had to sort of almost lose at least 2 weeks, probably to a month, because we'd have to start then in the new
intake.
And so we joined with an intake where we had far more old soldiers. We had at least 4 Canadians who had all been come from France. And more tank corps people. And I think there was probably a troop then of about 24. And so foot drill was normal. You did that every day, more or less, and you did the rehearsals, the complete passing out parade thing. Certainly, the troop ahead, or 3 or 4 ahead, would pass out, and the slow march in line and up the steps. Well, all the ones behind would join that parade and do the passing out parade as they probably do now, I don't know. And so we were doing this most certainly about once a fortnight or once a month, I'm not sure, but you get plenty of practice of that. And then you would start working on the tanks, and you would start off by a D&M course.
Driving and maintenance course.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you would, we started off with Churchill, not Churchill, Cromwell. And they were nicer, I think. They were fast, and you'd go out driving those, and you'd have to do all the maintenance, clean them, and whatnot. And then we also got a Sherman tank. Mm-hmm. The Sherman, you could take the engine out from the completely. And that's one of the things that we had to do as well. So it was all good stuff, and you really got your hands dirty, and it gave you a good knowledge of the place. You were also given the gunnery side. And
where did you do that? Was that at Sandhurst, or did you go off somewhere after that?
Did all of the groundwork at Sandhurst, and when it came to the firing, we went off to Walkoff on the ranges, and we fired the guns and all the guns. So that was it. And at the same time, you'd be doing radio. They all fitted in different hours of the day, or a couple of hours a day, or different subjects. So you knew everything about the particular tank. You knew everything about the tank. And once you'd mastered all that, you then started on the tactical side. And it was somewhere around Sandhurst that you would, I can't remember exactly where, and some of it would be out on Salisbury Plain, but the troop would do. And one day you would be troop commander. Another day you would be the driver. Another day you would be the wireless operator. Another day you would be the gunner. So it's changing around. And they were, it used to be a crew of 4 in each tank. So that each, and you had your particular tank for that, you see. So the whole troop had a vehicle. So,
what sort of level of tactics were you being taught? We were being taught troop level.
Troop level. And as I say, we did that around Sandhurst, and we also did it on the name of the place on Salisbury Plain. There was they had a row of huts which were used especially for the Sandhurst people, and you'd live there for a week or a fortnight. Same as we went up to Walcott, there a week. So we got a good measure of shooting.
When you were doing the shooting at Walcott, what sort of main armament were you using?
Mainly the big gun.
Would that be the 75 millimeter?
Yes.
Mm. Over what sort of distance were you shooting?
Well, like the normal range, as a normal army range, you'd have your 1,000 yards and upwards, and you would do a lot of shooting, shelling with bracketing there.
With the HE?
With the HE. And you'd have to do all this, and you'd be either commanding, giving the orders to the gunner. And you'd have your instructor in the back marking you whether you were doing it right and that sort of thing. And then you'd have a turn doing the shooting yourself. So everybody got a really good back.
What sort of targets were you shooting at?
I think they were, they had some hard targets there, and some of them they had the sort of canvas screen type, and some of them were either building type things where if you use it for HE to test on your bracketing. Because it was a well-known name, wasn't it?
Walcott, still is.
It still is.
Yes. Did you do any shooting at moving targets? Did they have anything?
I can't remember moving targets. Although I suppose they must have done. I can't honestly say I remember shooting at that. But we probably did. The other thing we had to do as well was motorbike training. You had these BSA motorbikes.
Are these the same things that the Royal Signals had for dispatch riding?
Okay. And I know outside Sandhurst there was a big hill that we had to climb up on Munsell Gorse, and of course a heather type rough country. And you've got this hill which you shoot up, because if you don't knuckle down quickly you can be up and over. And we did a lot of that, and then they used to send us out on exercises on the treasure hunts with a motorbike, you see, and you'd go off and you'd go out for 2 days. You'd have your rations with you, you'd have your blanket strapped on the back, and you were sent off on your own. And each man went and he was given his first clue. And then we went, I know, all the way down to Dorset, Exeter there. One of the clues was in the lighthouse. What's the name of the place? Name of the cement.
Portland.
That was one of the clues was there, so you had to find one clue, off you go, pick up the other, and so you're away for 2 days. So that was another thing they had to do. Towards the end, we had to spend 2 weeks up at Betsy Cwed.
In Wales?
Yeah. And that was a tumour. I've never been so tired in my life, I don't think.
Not even when you were in the desert?
Well, it was a different type of tiredness, I think. This was exhausting, I think, because we were day and night on these moors. And again, each man took a turn to be platoon commander or section commander, mortarman, machine gun, each, and you took a turn.
This sounds like infantry training.
It was.
Ah, you hadn't done that before, had you?
No, but we did all this, and so one day you would be carrying the mortar, and the section commander would say, right, mortar, up that hill. And you have this great big field, you climb, set up your mortar, and, you know, ready for. And it was crushing. And then we were cold, we were wet, and we'd come back at night, particularly to some sort of hotel that had been taken over by the army. We'd have a hot meal, McConaughey's sort of tins and stuff. And then you'd be off about 4 the next morning on this, and we had 2 weeks of this. And you'd do the lake crossing, and while you were doing it, there'd be live firing over your head. And So one day we had to climb Snowdon. We had our full pack, rifles, the lot, and we had to go up the back way to Snowdon, led by a sergeant major in the Lower Guards Regiment. And he led us up there, and we got to the top. And we thought, oh, my lovely, we can have a level. I think they had a train up there. And we thought, oh, good. We get a ride back. Everyone got to help. And somebody said, okay, then, follow me. And we all went. We led the way. We had to run all the way down the track to the bottom where there was a lake. Got in the boat to do a lake crossing and jump ashore and do an attack on the shore. And again, there was live firing all the time. Mm-hmm. These things were going on. If you were doing an attack, there'd be friendly guns set up. So they were shooting over your head all the time. Mm-hmm. But we had 2 weeks there. And you think, ah, oh, good, I've got to have a good sleep tonight. I say, come on out and off you go. And the thing was, you go across all this tremendous training ground, if you've been up there, and you'd come to a stream, and you'd have to wade it in pretty cold. I think they'd be about that somewhere around about October, November time. So when it was really miserable. And, but it really, I've never been so fit in my life. Mm. I was really fit.
You'd been in battle. Was this training realistic?
I think the infantry training was very good. I thought that what you did, you'd have your, if you were platoon commander, you'd have your platoon or your section, and you would have an objective. Mm. It'd probably be a house which was occupied. So you could go right through the thing and attack the house with live ammunition. And the live ammunition would be coming at you as well. Mm. Or, maybe you wouldn't be here. But it's very realistic. Mm. And so you got to the house, and then you would go in and do your infantry attack. We'd been trained on house tactics as well. There was a house, was it somewhere near, far from Salisbury, it was in the newspaper thing, it was like a village that had been taken.
Oh yes, there was a village called Imber.
Imber, that's right. Well, we did our infantry training, attacking the house and that there before we went up to, to do the thing properly. Mm. So we had, that was pretty extensive, I mean, infantry and so you could appreciate the infantryman's position there. I enjoyed it, I must say. It was a tremendous...
And you thought it was a good preparation for going into action?
Oh, I thought so, yes. Mm. The only thing different, really, that you knew you weren't going to be shot at and killed. That was the only difference, really. Providing you or younger chaps went in with that idea that, oh, it's fairly easy to do it this way, but we've got to be thinking, well, that bullet's going to hit me if I'm not careful. Mm. And that was the only difference. But I thought the course was very good. And also, in between, we'd have a 10-mile, which you had to do in a certain time. And then you had a 20-mile that you had to do in a certain time. So it's a case we all started off and tried to keep together, sort of helping the people who couldn't really do it.
Were there people who were not up to these long endurance marches?
One or two of them had to struggle. People were carrying their kit and the rifle and helping them along. And as long as we could get them in within the time, half of them, you'd probably get two of them lift either side, come on with them, and get them out. So I don't think we had any failures as such, but there were one or two more. Not really, as not everybody who can cope with that sort of thing. Really, they might be brilliant in the tank and that.